This divine energy of mine, considering of this, no, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. No, our illusion is eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabada, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain state in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior nature, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the constructions and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who's Maheshwara, the supreme controller. This is a verse from Svetashvatara Upanishad. So the background of this whole material prison is divine, it's Krishna, therefore it's very difficult to cross and overcome this divine arrangement. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. So true. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He ordereth this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words Mam Eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu, only, and not Brahma or Shiva, Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun and Tamagun to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Svetashvastara Upanishad, confirm this in the phrase Tam eva viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu eva nasangshaya. There's no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. For the beginning of this lecture, I have to give you a summary of what we discussed this morning, because this evening lecture is a continuation of this morning's lecture. So, this morning we were talking about different models of spiritual progress. We were discussing that mostly devotees who want to make advancement in spiritual life believe in a model of a steady upward movement when they begin the process of Krishna consciousness. They believe that I start at point A and then I make advancement more or less in a steady way to point B. Now, if you get to a certain point, it's just like if you get to a certain key on the computer, zip, the machine loads, and it becomes hochgefahren. I do not know what is this in English language. It becomes visible on the screen, and all of a sudden it's there. Enjoy wealth, women, and prestige, please. And I didn't want this thing to appear in my mind. But my dear devotees, it's very deep in there, and it will come at certain stages again to be dealt with by you on a deeper level. How can you deal with this on a deeper level? Many devotees in the Hare Krishna movement and in other spiritual paths have at one time stopped to deal with these things. They have, as we said, say in German, die haben das Handtuch geschmissen, or how do you say in English, they have thrown the towel, they have given up, this is too intense. I wanted a movement where I can eat and be with nice people and dance from time to time. Not every day, but now I have to deal with these issues. Many have reacted like this, and they have not been honest. They have said, this is not my problem, it's a problem of others that I feel so unpleasant. They have given this unpleasant feeling in me. There may be many mistakes in an institution, and many pain may be created, and that needs to be taken care on its own level. But today I would like to say, we all have turned against Krishna, and there's only one solution: to turn to Krishna, turn back. And the ego will not like it, because we have made our programs independent from Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, and the ego will give pain. However, it's very easy to come through these difficult moments if you know of the two movements of advancement. One is an objective progress. Objective means other people see, oh, he really knows more. He is developed many nice qualities. He is devotional also. He is a source of inspiration to others. He gives a nice example. This is the objective root of progress. But there must be also a subjective root of progress. That is something which the devotee feels. And it goes, strangely enough, with his advancement in the other direction. Please write down objective and subjective to the respective lines. As you advance in your spiritual life, you have to increase in humility. This is a subjective thing. See, in the material world, progress often brings a progress of self-esteem or pride with it. You advance, for instance, in learning, you advance in money, you advance in fame, and you become a little bit eingebildet. That is usually happening in material progress. There are also mature people who remain humble, this has to be said. In spiritual life, when you come into the trap of false ego, or pride, everything leaves you and goes away. You must actually learn to become more advanced in humility. We have spoken about this in the past. When a tree grows and develops a bigger crown with fruits and branches, this can be dangerous for the growth of the tree, unless the tree also grows downwards, not only upwards. That is, the roots go deeper into the ground. Our devotee similarly makes advancement in positions, in fame, in insights which the process of bhakti gives him. Usually it gives bhakti, has two sons, gyan and vairagya. If he makes advancements in knowledge and detachment from this world, he has to be very careful to grow his roots deeper and deeper, go in the opposite direction. One direction is this, the other is this. There was once a devotee who went to Prabhupada, and this American devotee, very beautiful looking, very intelligent, temple commander or GBC or whatever high position. And he said, Prabhupada, how can I be humble? With the undertone, I'm so qualified, how is it possible for me to be humble? And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, be realistic. Srila Prabhupada has a way of very direct preaching. Most of us are afraid of realism. And therefore, out of fear, we have to be realistic and understand what we are. We have adopted an armor, a very strong, best German steel armor of false ego. The problem which many people, including devotees in our movement, have with humility is that they feel if I'm so humble, this will lead to low self-esteem and I will become desperate because I have the feeling that really no one loves me. But Krishna loves his devotees. He has proven this when he said apichet sudaracharo, that he even loves a devotee who is engaged in abominable or bad activities. He has proven this. The devotee, intelligent devotee, will never forget the unconditioned love of his Lord, and therefore he is not afraid of realism. There was once a question to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The person asked to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is being angry with someone who is malicious, that is bad, towards devotees, a part of devotion? We often hear this in lectures. Can I beat up an offender against Krishna consciousness? is that not devotional service? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very interesting answer. He says, first of all, I have to see if I myself am an enemy of the devotees. It is essential to ask, am I serving Krishna or am I doing something else in the pretense of devotional service? How much love do I actually have for Krishna? Do I maybe want to cheat Krishna? Do I want to enjoy what is meant for Krishna's enjoyment? A devotee is not afraid to ask these self-searching questions and to hear the answer that maybe he is still in the mood of the enjoyer and not in the mood of a servant. The devotee is not afraid of asking this question, because he wants to do everything which is in his command to reach the kingdom of love. And he knows that both fear to surrender and also pride, no, I don't need to surrender, is totally against the rules of love. Therefore, the devotee is bold enough to address these questions. And the devotee feels very happy and purified if he has been successful in finding out another anatta, another problem, because he knows if he laments, if he is honest about his situation, Krishna will very soon come to his rescue. The problem which a devotee who makes advancement faces is kapata, or pretense, that after some time he doesn't want to hear any longer that he is a fallen soul. It's for beginners. I will end with a very, very interesting observation which tells us how deeply important it is to be honest and to be not afraid to look at ourselves as being ordinary people with an extraordinary opportunity in life. Srila Jiva Goswami addresses in Bhakti Sandarbha the point that as one is anxious to find gold, no matter if one has found it or not, similarly a devotee always attempts towards his spiritual perfection, even if he was not feels that he has not been totally successful. He wants the gold. And the gold means direct perception of Sri Hari. This direct perception of Krishna, when Krishna comes in the heart, drives out the weaknesses which are there with us, like lust and attachments and so on and so forth. This direct perception of Sri Hari in the heart is really the antidote, the medicine against our material conditioning. But now, even if a faithful devotee sees that he has not yet reached the perfection, and he sees that he still has material attachments due to old sanskaras, he admits to himself, these obstacles or attachments are obstacles. They are not what I am supposed to have developed after all these years. I'm very sorry for them. I regret that I'm still so attached on one side to ordinary material pleasures. And it is said, if a devotee develops this sincere honesty and humility, this sincere honesty and humility is the birthplace of bhakti. Bhakti, which comes for one devotee due to a direct perception of Krishna, comes to another devotee, strangely enough, who's honest and humble, and in a moment he can make advancement. We were talking about the logic of this earlier in the morning lecture, and those of you who are interested in these subjects can listen to this lecture, which is connected to this second lecture. But here I only want to repeat, the worst thing for a devotee who wishes to make in some way progress in his life is when he sees some anatta's coming up in the spiral of his advancement, huh? When he sees the same thing coming up, that he is not willing to look there, and he begins to gloss it over and pretend to be an advanced devotee. The moment Krishna sees this, this devotee who has become proud, the moment Bhakti Devi sees this, they both leave the devotee for another lesson in the material world, where his false pride will be destroyed by a meteorite of realism. This is how Lord Krishna prefers to deal with his devotees. He wants them to go back to the kingdom of love, and he wants to cure them from the evil witch of pride and pretense on the path of Krishna consciousness. It is a very, very interesting to see. I'm sometimes meeting many people of other spiritual faith, and I'm asking them, what do you perceive as a great obstacle? And they all say, well, we see that sometimes strangely with advancement, some of our members develop this dishonesty, and they think that weaknesses or obstacles are the road to progress. Hare Krishna. They turn it around that turn that truth around. So, but I would like to turn to another perspective. It's very important for me that since you have come such a long way, that you don't just hear an analysis of spiritual progresses and the pitfalls which are there on the path, but that you have some tools in your hands, some spiritual tools which help you to really make progress in devotional life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has described how you can all become Uttama Adhikaris. That is the most advanced devotees. It starts with this. If one is fortunate, one becomes disgusted with the limited vision of a Kanishtha Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari thinks, oh, progress means I have more facilities for my life. Progress means if our temple collects more than the other temple. Progress means if I make position advancement and I also have a Brahmin string and then I'm a sannyasi and then I'm a guru and some think the highest position is a GBC. Hare Krishna. This is where you think external signs or positions have anything to do with spiritual progress. It's wrong. It's the ability. It's Kanishtha or materialistic devotee. In Christianity, it was said that if God loves someone, He makes him rich. He gives him money. So the richest people are the most advanced Christians. There was a group like this, and obviously there was a revolution against them, against this foolish belief in Christianity, but and so on. So if you have enough of this limited vision of the Kanishtha Adhikari, this is this group and this is the other group, we are in our group and they are in their group. This is this group of this guru and this is the group of the other guru. If you are very fed up by this party spirit, you just start to think, I just want to serve the Vaishnavas. I want to just serve the living entities no matter where they are, then you begin to appreciate the expanded vision of a Madhyam Adhikari, that all living entities should become devotees of Krishna, and that the perfection of life comes by following the footsteps of a pure devotee. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says that if you slowly develop the broader vision of a Madhyam Adhikari and get out of this narrow sectarian belief of the Kanishtha Adhikari, this very materialistic concept of Krishna consciousness, huh? Then you will feel inspired to bathe respectfully in the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And when you do this, the harassment means torture of birth, death, hunger, thirst, fear stop to disturb the mind. In other words, if you want spiritual advancement, my dear devotees, then try to understand deeply in your heart the spiritual foundations of Krishna consciousness, that we are not the body. We are all eternal souls, part and parcels of Lord Krishna, who waits for us that we turn to Him in loving devotional service. Tomorrow, on Nityananda's appearance day, I have isolated 3 very powerful spiritual techniques in Krishna consciousness which can help you to go through these different models of spiritual advancement. Last and not least, the spiral movement, that you do make advancement, but the same issues come up again. Which, in other words, I want to give you some tools from the scriptures which help you to deal with this. To our mind comes the life of Bilva Mangala Thakur. Bilva Mangala in his previous life was living in the ashram of his guru Somagiri. And he had been very attached. He had developed attachment to the opposite sex. So when he was reborn, he was taking his birth in a very opulent, rich Vaishya family. And as the oldest son of his father, he had free access to the treasury and the money. And he spent it lavishly for good dress, and also for a very wonderful prostitute called Chintamani, very beautiful and also spiritually minded. He often had the pleasures of the senses with her. So once he was visiting her. In a stormy night, he was totally tortured by the storm. He wanted to have an intimate contact. And Chintamani told him, only one sentence, Bilva Mangala, if you would use the same determination which you are ready to use for your material enjoyment to become self-realized, by now you would be a great soul. Bilva Mangala couldn't believe what he heard. These were the words of his spiritual master Somagiri, who told him the same thing in his previous life. And when he heard this, his positive spiritual sanskaras, not the material sanskaras, awoke very powerfully. And he said, "Ah, thank you, I shall leave this foolish life of a sense enjoyer and go to Vrindavan and please Lord Krishna." Bilva Mangala Thakur had seen, in other words, that lifetime after lifetime, this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna had come up, but simultaneously also his desire for spiritual life had come up. I think we all are in the same situation. Due to Krishna's mercy, when we were meeting the devotees, when we were seeing the deities, we developed such deep our old sanskaras came up again, and we could understand, oh, Krishna, Krishna. I remember a little while ago, two very wonderful devotees of Kanaya Desh. The secret Middle East country, and we have to try to be not so talkative and say it's a Muslim country. They came here and they saw Radha Madan Mohan, and they didn't have contact. They had some contact with devotees, but nothing of a committed nature. They saw the deities, and by just seeing the deities, so many wonderful spiritual feelings came. They cried for a long time, and now the pictures of Radha Madan Mohan are all over a huge country in the Middle East. They are so enthusiastic. Radha Madan Mohan are the lords of the Muslim countries. These devotees could see that their sanskaras, their old sanskaras, maybe from previous lives, had come up. Prabhupada did say this about his devotees. He said many of his devotees had association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in previous lifetimes. Hare Krishna. So you all were in this situation. You met the powerful preachings of Srila Prabhupada and something came up, something which did not come up in so many Germans or Croatians or Italians or Canadians or Indians or Americans or whatever you are stationed at the present moment. Something came up. But at the same time, you will notice that other sanskaras, material sanskaras, are also coming up, attachments. Be honest. Don't pretend to be the biggest soul. Even if you have made a lot of advancement, know many shlokas, can inspire many devotees, can play kirtans like anything. Remain in the humble position and you will see how Krishna will appear before you, even if you have no eyes to see him, like Bilva Mangala, who on his way to Vrindavan had another terrible accident into sensuality. I mean, he didn't do it, but he almost did it. Lord Krishna saw, he is my struggling devotee, and he came to him and he said, Bilva Mangala, come with me, I brought some milk. And he led him. Bilva Mangala by then was blind. I heard he lived 700 years, some say. I read such a thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport. He was a very strong spiritualist. I think the 700 years refers to maybe 7 lives or 8 lives, you know, which his advancement took. Finally, Krishna took him and led him to Vrindavan and took him to the kingdom of God, because he did not go the road of pretense, but he went the road of the humble devotee. I want to end here, and I want to encourage all of you. We have come to a wonderful festival, a festival where the Lord appears. That's tomorrow, the Nityananda's appearance day. He is the last limit of mercy, and we will hear about his wonderful pastimes tomorrow in great detail. I really am very, very grateful that you have so kindly appeared with your good festive mood. Let us celebrate the day of our Lord with great enthusiasm. Let us chant and dance like anything. Finally, you know, when you chant and dance in the association of devotees, it's therapeutic. All the whatever conditioning you still have, you will shake it out of your heart. I mean, not just by the bodily movement, you have to move your heart in the kirtan. Be there fully. When you lose it and you do not glorify Krishna any longer, go to the deities, pray to them, I've come to glorify you, and chant and dance before them, and Radha Madan Mohan will surely empower you again with the right perspective. Now I will not be able to take any questions, because I do not wish that you go so late to bed, but tomorrow morning we will have question and answers. Let me only summarize, dear devotees, when you see the same thing comes up again, know you are advancing. It's good. Goes on a deeper level. And if you remain humble, not think, oh Krishna, what happens here? If you remain humble and you do not take shelter in the Kanishta Arikari mentality, that you take shelter in external things and at external positions, but you're ready to look where you have to work, then Lord Krishna will see this quality and will become very attracted. He becomes pulled by this humility in the heart, and he appears. And when Lord Krishna appears in the heart, all the darkness goes away for sure. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.